James Sharm and Richard Deitch will join us at 5 o'clock. You know, my grandmother used to tell me, James, whenever you see a bunch of Russians together and they're happy, somebody someplace is getting screwed. Somebody someplace has had something bad happen to them. But we're talking about the World Cup here. There were a couple of calls that didn't go Egypt's way in that 3-1 loss.
Egypt weren't screwed, Jeff. Come on.
Work with me on the narrative here. The fix is in.
The own goal was clearly rigged.
Well, yeah, it was.
He knew what he was doing.
I'll tell you what. I'd like to know how much money that own goal was worth. How much money that own goal
A fair amount.
And all kidding aside, here we are. The Russians are the first team through, as we all boldly predicted. Maybe the most unfancied host country. I mean, even South Africa, I think, was higher ranked than Russia going into that competition. But the benefits of a, shall we say, charitable
Let's just call them a vociferous fan base, because, you know, it's amazing what that does at World Cups. Mm-hmm. You so rarely see a host nation not do quite well, South Africa being the only team. So once again, Russia, you're right, they enter this tournament, and their fans are saying this is the worst Russian team we've ever seen. They're the worst host nation the World Cup's ever seen. And then two games in, 6 points, so plus 7 goal differential. Mm-hmm. What do we know? So I give them credit. It was a good game today, a fun game to watch. But I think we should remember that Egypt's not a great team.
Right.
Mo Salah gets back in 11 today. He hasn't trained in 3 weeks. He was okay, showed some flashes, scored the penalty. But, you know, certainly wasn't the Mo Salah we see when he's playing beside Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino, which obviously helps a guy like Salah. And bear in mind that Russia also beat Saudi Arabia, who are an absolute abomination in this tournament. That's how bad they are. So give Russia credit, 100%, but there's always going to be a real dogfight, I think, for that second place behind Uruguay in this group, and good for Russia for being that team, maybe first place. We'll see.
And what it does, I mean, I guess depending on how the draw shapes up, but it does allow them, depending on how the contest against Uruguay is going, if there are players they want to rest, if there are niggling injury concerns, it does give them the freedom to maybe pull back a little bit, although I would think if you're the host country and you've got a shot at winning first in that.
But you're playing either Spain or Portugal, right, in the next round. Now, you'd probably rather play Portugal. You want to see some raised eyebrows and some dubious calls. Maybe we wait for the next round, Jeff.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
When there's really the money on the line there.
If it advances, we may see that. It was the Russia beating Egypt 3-1 was the third of three games today. Japan beat Colombia. Valiant effort by Colombia. We're down to 10 men about, 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. The second quickest red card ever in World Cup history.
Right. And a fair red card. I mean, there was no doubt about it. I think it wasn't Cuadrado.
It was a handball, yeah. It was a handball, Sanchez.
Sanchez, right.
And essentially, if you handball and it stops a goal, it's a penalty and a red card.
Right.
And so just let the goal go in.
Yeah. And in the second match of the day, Senegal beat Poland. Poland, in some people's mind, might have been a dark horse team, but as you pointed out, one thing we know about Senegal is they're athletic, they're fast, and they were too fast for Poland.
Yeah, their transition today was just breathtaking, wasn't it? And Poland, the concerns about this team were, are they too old? Are they a little bit leggy late in the season? And that was proven today. Poland was very average.
Yeah.
They really disappointed me, actually. I thought they'd be better than this, but give Senegal credit. They were fully deserving of that win.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the more you watch soccer, the more you realize when it really, I mean, it doesn't matter what is in vogue, what systems are in vogue, what strategies are in vogue. If you're not strong in the midfield, you get crushed in tournament football. And Poland was just awful. I mean, they were awful in a lot of areas, but the midfield in particular, they had nothing going on.
You're right, yeah. I mean, it's so important. And all the top teams have that strong midfield, especially in the center of the park. And Poland, who have had a decent midfield for a number of years, entering this one, they got some youth there coming through who aren't quite ready perhaps, but they shut up today and Senegal just scythed through them, you know, at will it seemed, especially in that first half. So I give them credit. You know, so far African teams haven't really done that well at this tournament. Been disappointing. Senegal is the best of the bunch, and watch for them to maybe be that team to make it to the latter rounds.
Yeah, they looked awfully good. We saw VAR used today in the Egypt Russia match, used correctly. The call was right. Eventually, the call was gotten right. This was going to be, James, one of the talking points coming in was VAR. It has been, and I know that there were some issues in different European leagues this year with the use of VAR. I mean, it took too long. In a lot of instances, the result wasn't communicated to the fans. Fans had no idea what was going on. But, I mean, in this tournament, at least so far, it's, you know, I understand I'm not a fan of having to wait to get a result and a goal, but it's worked in this tournament.
It's been maybe the star player of this World Cup so far, because I was expecting the worst. Having seen it in MLS all year and last year in the Bundesliga and the Serie A, where, just like you said there, they might generally get it right, the actual decisions.
But it's such a mess getting it
right. But it takes so long in this confusion, and the fans don't know what's going on. They've made some tinkers. The fans do know what's going on now. That they've made their calls quickly, and it's really worked. And some big calls that have been turned back or given forward. And, you know, I still think there's going to be that moment where it ruins the momentum or ruins something in a game. I hope so, because I've been bashing it for months.
Yeah.
But it's not going anywhere, right? This technology. We've been in this same conversation with the NHL, with
and
NFL.
Baseball,
same thing, right? And it's not going anywhere. So let's accept it and try and make it right. Let's do it right. And so far, I hate to say it, but I give FIFA credit that they've done something and it's been a success, albeit, what, 6 days into the tournament?
It's 6 days into the tournament. What's amazed me so far is, you know, watching its use, I've been impressed with how smoothly VAR has worked, considering the fact that you have mixed officiating crews. You know, there was one, the crew this morning, I believe, had three officials from the Netherlands and one from Germany in the room, in the video room. You had a Slovenian referee and I believe it was a Slovenian officials. But even with that, it really has. I mean, the speed with which decisions have been made have impressed me. And what has really impressed me as well is watching the reaction of the players on the pitch.
I was about to say that there's not that pressure on the referee.
No.
They're not, you know, crowding around him, screaming in his face. He says, just wait. He points his ear. We are looking. So calm down. And they're calming down. Now, I think also we're seeing, though, maybe referees not making calls, knowing that they're going to get the backup from upstairs, and maybe that takes a bit of the fun away from things.
Right.
But I understand why they do. I'd rather they do that than make the wrong call.
Yeah.
I think in the Sweden game we saw that. The play went the other way, and you know what happens if someone scores other end, right? Then there's confusion, but the play was called back about, you know, 20 seconds or whatever it was, and they called a penalty in the area. So they did it right there. So you know, there's some things which have the potential for disaster, but yeah, seeing the way the players are respecting it is amazing. And so far there's been, I think, all the games played in a pretty good sportsmanship, you know, compared to previous World Cups.
There
is diving, we know that. Yeah. There's embellishment, but not quite like we've seen it before.
No, there's not been many flashpoints.
Apart from Falcao today.
Apart from Falcao, which was embarrassing. But diving is part of the game. It's going to be part
everywhere
of the
except
game.
For England. No, it is there as well now.
Yeah.
To be honest, we know it is. But that was the old argument for years. Oh, it's not part of the game. Well, it is everywhere else apart from where you play the game.
Exactly.
But and now it's creeped in there as well.
Yeah, so. But it is remarkable how everybody thinks that their game is tremendous and
pure.
Nothing untoward happens in our game. We've seen the second match in the one group. What are some of your other thoughts from, you know, the preliminary stages now that we're through? Now that every team has appeared at least once, what are some of your other thoughts?
Well, the big teams having difficulties, right? I mean, listen, you're Germany. We know what happened there. They lost. I think they'll be just fine. I think there's a lot of drama around that team back home, of course. How could they possibly lose? But they lost to a pretty good Mexican team. But they looked disjointed. Their midfield, Germany's midfield was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Mesut Ozil was dreadful, was invisible. Khedira and Cruz didn't show up, but we know they can show up. And then Brazil were not what we thought they'd be. We thought they'd be the old Brazil again, showing flair and attack and swagger. Didn't have any of that against, again, a hard-working Switzerland team. So
they looked. I thought Brazil looked really nervous at times.
Yeah,
which I did not expect.
Not at all, because they have that swagger back. We thought. So I think you're seeing the mediocre teams. If you're organized, you can play very well against good teams and get a result.
Which the Swiss, I thought, were
prime example.
A prime example of a team that was organized. And got a result.
But it's been a good World Cup so far, despite that. I mean, there's been some great goals, lots of set-piece goals. You do wonder, once the knockout phase begins, will it tighten up? It generally does. It did 4 years ago and 4 years before that. You know, the group phases are often lots of fun. So we're enjoying it. No one's really broken through yet as being this young emerging player just yet. There's been some good performances. It's been the same old Ronaldo.
Yeah.
3 goals. I mean, my God, you write him off. Mm-hmm. You dismiss him. But every big game for his club or his country, he shows up and puts in a performance that you won't ever forget.
I think we need to move on from the whole Messi-Ronaldo argument, don't you?
Are you leaning towards Ronaldo now?
I've been leaning towards Ronaldo for a couple of years. And I just think because, again, he shows up he shows up for his country. And I think when I talk about a baseball Hall of Famer, I really put a lot of weight in postseason success because I think that's the mark of a really good player. And I think when you play internationally, if you can perform as consistently as he does, and I compare that to Messi, and you know, the thing is, I'm not entirely certain Portugal's that much better of a team on balance than Argentina is. So it's not as if, you know, you can't make the case that, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's doing really well, but he's got a bunch of good players around him. Well,
they're not
exactly
superstars. Yeah, you know, there's a legitimate argument to be had that he has surpassed Messi for sure. It comes down to who's your favorite player, right? I mean, they're both wonderful talents, and I think Messi actually played quite well last game. Mm-hmm. Missed a penalty, right, which is just kind of typical given this current mood in the argument. But I thought he played quite well, had the chances. Without him, they had nothing going forward, and he might still find his form, and his team might find their form. But I'm always going to be a Messi guy. You're not going to sway me. But I very much appreciate the argument, and it's a tough one to defend now, perhaps more than ever, given he's got the Champions League now, again, the fourth, and is now doing it at the World Cup, although they just one game in. So let's see how the whole tournament progresses.
There is time. What do you make of France? It was kind of a lot of people, I mean, when we did our picks for Sportsnet thoughts, I got France winning the whole thing, and I know that it's insane. Any team that Didier Deschamps is in charge of, it's insane to think to pick them to go all the way. But by God, on the balance of talent, I don't think there's any team in this tournament that comes close to them.
No, definitely. The players they've left out. No one has left out better players than France, right?
But you watch them and you go,
something's missing still.
There's someone described them as tactically naive.
Yeah,
and maybe that's,
I think that could be the way to put it, because Deschamps has not found a way to have both Griezmann and Pogba playing well on the same 11. And in fact, we saw Griezmann get taken out of the last game, and it kind of freed up Pogba. Yeah. And suddenly he was much more effective. But you have to find a way, and it's also in the players too, to evolve themselves and show their versatility. But there's something not quite there. They can look magnificent, you're right, but I'm not sure the players there really are behind the manager, Deschamps, either. Right. You know, they don't trust him as being a guy.
Which is one of the old stories with the French team, right?
Yeah, I mean, they employ, apart from 98 and 2000, they generally, well, got to the final, I suppose, in 06.
But they
find, if there's a way to beat yourself, they're going to find it, right? Like the Dutch.
What is it about, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Pogba, because it's a similar issue with Manchester United. Finding a fit around a great player. And you would think it wouldn't be that hard because he is so good. He is so great. But, I mean, Man U, I don't know if they've got the combination right now.
No, they haven't. I mean,
I think France.
Only like Conte at Juventus, when he was there, he figured it out. That's why he cost $90 million to Manchester United. So it's possible. But at some point, I think the player's got to look himself in the mirror and say, okay, what am I doing wrong here? You know, I can't have it all my way. I'm a young player who really hasn't proven that much over his career. A lot of potential, of course. What am I doing wrong? How can I change? How can I get better? I'm not sure whether he's done that so far. So Mourinho, he's as sharp as they come. And obviously, we could talk about Mourinho for hours and his shortcomings and has the game passed him by. But I still bank on him being a top manager. He'll figure it out, I would think. And if he doesn't, someone's leaving and it probably isn't going to be Pogba.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I think Pogba's a key to Mourinho's future there.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about England. 2-1 winners in their first match against Tunisia. Harry Kane, big match. I would think exactly what you needed to see from the captain and from, you know, I don't know if you'd call him the face of the England team, but he's a key figure in that team. I know we watched that game a little bit And I got to tell you, that's not the way I thought it was going to play out. I mean, and maybe it's because we're just so used to watching England and we're so used to heartbreak and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just something, it just had something, a feel about it, that something cataclysmic was going to happen. But it didn't. And then if you go back and look at the game, you realize, you know, you probably, it was just a matter of us expecting the worst. But you go back and look at it and, I don't know. I mean,
I'm the worst person to watch an England game with because I'm so preset in my opinions.
Well, you know,
I've written them off.
You know, there's a missed penalty. Bubbling around there someplace.
Something bad's going to happen, right? Or they're not going to unlock that deep line block, which bad teams always do against them. And we saw in the second half yesterday, Tunisia set back, England couldn't break through until the very end, but they did break through at the end. And that's the difference. There aren't many goals in that team, right? They're very young players, apart from Harry Kane, who's a world-class striker.
But there's a lot of pace, boy. You watch
a lot of pace,
when they have Lingard and Raheem Sterling out there at the same time, I mean, they are fast.
And that's fine, though, if a team's pressing high up the pitch. But when teams sit back, you have all the pace you want. You know, you're just going to run into traffic, which is what happened yesterday. And Raheem Sterling was very average yesterday. But the potential is there. They brought on Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who looked very good. Marcus Rashford looked very good. So I think for the first game of the tournament, you look at the game and the first half an hour was fantastic. Like, who is this team? They're dynamic. They're attacking. They scored the goal. They then concede a bad penalty. And then the second half's laborious. They have difficulty breaking down the defense, but they find a way in the end. And other England teams in recent years haven't found that way. So we'll see. They're playing Panama next, who's not a good team. They should take care of pretty easily. And then it's Belgium, which will be a fascinating tussle. And actually, as much as Belgium's got better players than England, man for man, I think the way they both play systematically actually fits England quite well, so it could be interesting.
Well, and it'll be interesting too because England they'll be playing against a lot of players that they're used. They know Lukaku, they know De Bruyne, they know Hazard. Some of the key players for Belgium are players that Gareth Southgate and the English players are pretty well
teammates with them,
pretty well acquainted with. Exactly. Yeah. So, as you look at this tournament, and I know you have to scoot, and we'll let you go in a few minutes. Have we identified that dark horse team yet, do you think? Do you think Senegal might be that team?
They might be, yeah. I mean, but Senegal, so they finish first in their group, right? Then they're playing, England, in the round of 16.
Right.
They might be. I think they're the one team that's impressed me the most out of the also-ran, so to speak, the teams we didn't know too much about. Really good spine to that team. So I think it might be Senegal, and I hope so, because we want to see an African team at some point do well in a tournament, and it's so rare that it actually happens. They flatter the deceive. They have a great, couple of games in the group phase and then they'll crash out on penalties in the round of 16. How many times Ghana? Wow, look at this Ghana team. They're fantastic.
I mean, Cote d'Ivoire. Oh, I mean, there have been a lot of teams. Cameroon.
Cameroon did it, though, a couple of times, right, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Roger Miller years, certainly, back in the 80s and 90s. That's a long time ago now. Yeah. Wow. But they were fun to watch.
And we keep, I remember covering the Olympics in Beijing where Nigeria lost to Argentina and everybody was talking about how the Super Eagles, that was the next emerging African power. They had a lot of good players, like Victor Anichebe and players like that.
JJ Okocha. I actually spoke to Pele about this once many years ago. He was in town and we just started talking about various things. He goes, there will be an African world champion by 2010. Well, they hosted a tournament in 2010.
Yeah, that's right.
But there wasn't, Pele's not always in the money. But I found it interesting. He really saw, there's some diamonds there and certainly there are.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, Senegal is they're fun to watch. They play the right way, and they're going to be a handful forever they run into. James, we appreciate you doing this. I know
Thank you.
Time.
Cheers.